doing all right. They're living right. They're obeying God. They're doing what God is asking them to do. But I think they're a little like, you know, there's a guy who got lost in the desert. And after wandering around for a while, he finally found a pump sitting in the middle of the desert. Next to it was a gallon jug. And the note on the gallon jug says, use this water and prime the pump. If you pour all the water in there and prime the pump, you'll have all the water you ever need. But he's thirsty. He's been wandering around the desert for a while. He's looking at that bottle and he's thinking, I can either prime the pump or I can drink this. But if I drink this and there's other bottles around, I can fill up the other bottles, so I can get out of the desert. But if it works, what if it doesn't work? So finally he decides to go ahead and prime the pump. And so he puts the water in the pump and he works the pump a little bit. And first nothing happens, and then he got a little scared, but then he kept going and the water started coming out. So much water came out that he drank all he wanted. He filled up some of those other bottles. He took a shower. He took a bath. You know, he did everything he needed to do. And then he left the note behind. He filled up that last jug and sat next to it and put on the bottom of the note and said to prime the pump. He said, prime the pump. Believe it. It works. Sometimes I think we're that guy. We've been praying in the desert for water. We've been living a faithful life. I guess you could say in a sense we've been priming the pump. But then God says he's going to do something, and we're afraid to push it in. We're afraid to grab hold of it. God says, hey, you primed the pump, everything's good. You got one more thing to do. You got to trust me. You got to do something else. Now, I want you to be clear that living a faithful life, that's priming the pump. That's using what God's given you. But I just want you to say, sometimes people think if they live a faithful life, the only good things will happen to them. I just want to get that out there. We don't serve a magical God. We serve a very real God who deals with us in the real world. And if you trust him, I guarantee you he's going to make a difference in your life. But I also guarantee you're still going to have trials and troubles and tribulations. Sometimes you're going to ask for things and God's going to give you something a little different than what you asked for. But what happens is when you trust God, he's going to walk alongside you. And if you prime that pump with faithfulness, then when it comes time to trust him, it gets easier. See, we don't have a magic formula. It's not like I do this and God will do that. It's more like because of all that God has done for me, I've learned to love him and trust him. And because I love him and trust him, I'm going to do what he asks me to do. And if he asks me to obey the commandments, you know what? I'm going to obey the commandments. If he asks me to draw closer, I'm going to draw closer. And when he asks me to believe, I'm going to believe. I can promise you that if you live right, sometimes you're going to find yourself in the desert. And sometimes there's going to be a pump waiting for you to prime. You've got to ask yourself, do you trust God enough to pour the water in the pump? And trust him for the results. Let me just tell you, this whole thing with going to two services, I feel like we're standing there and we're looking at that jug and we're saying, thank you, Lord, for all the people you sent here. Now, do we pour them into the pump and prime the pump and see what happens? Pray, God, he blesses us with the pouring because we want to see what God can do. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 says, the righteous shall live by faith. We've got to live by faith. We've got to trust that when God is working, we've got to do what he asks us to do. We've got to build a faithful life and watch as God reveals himself in amazing ways. And then we need to bear up under life's struggles, because there will be struggles in life. Luke chapter 1, verse 7, it says their struggle was they had no child. Elizabeth was barren, and both of them were advanced in years. As you read part of the passage, you realize they've been praying about this. This has been an article for them. They've been worried about this. Some of you here may have struggled with not being able to have children. Some of you here may be struggling with the children of God. I don't know. But we all have these issues that we need to deal with. We all have trials and struggles, and we've got to trust God through them. And then amazing things can happen. I think I told this story not long ago, but it just sort of applies here. Did I tell you the story about the king in Africa who had a friend who, whenever they did anything, the friend would say, this is good. Did I tell you this one? The friend would say, this is good. Well, one day they were out hunting, and the king pulled up his rifle. This was in the old days when you had to load them up and all of that stuff, and the rifle blew off the king's thumb. And his friend said, this is good. And the king threw him in jail. Well, a little while later, a few months later, the king was out hunting and he got captured by this cannibal tribe. And they were going to eat him. And they tied him up and they were putting him up, and as they were getting ready to roast him, they noticed he was missing a thumb. And the tribe had this rule that they didn't eat anybody who wasn't perfect. So they let the king go. And as the king was leaving, he thought, you know, I locked up my friend, and it was a good thing that I lost my thumb. If I hadn't lost my thumb, he'd be dead. So he goes in, and he sets his friend free, and he says, I'm so sorry I let you, put you in jail. And the friend says, no, this is good. And the king said, how can be put in jail be good? And the guy said, well, if you hadn't put me in jail, I would have been with you. We don't know why bad things happen. And listen, I'm going to guarantee you, I can't find a reason for every bad thing that happens. And you probably won't either. And sometimes you're going to wonder and you're going to want to trust God. And maybe that's where they were. They were wondering, why God? They were past the age of childbearing. They were old and they still didn't have a child. They probably pretty much given up. They probably said, it can't happen for us. It's too late. Now, God can work in those situations, but we need to trust him. The chief survived, and so did his friends. Zach and Elizabeth suffer, but the Lord is about to intervene. James chapter 1, verse 12 says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, who keeps trusting. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. So there's a promise that, there are trials in life, and sometimes we're going to see answers here that will solve those trials, and sometimes we'll have to deal with them for a long, long time. But the promise is that one day, we'll be with God, and one day those trials will all be resolved. One day we'll see the loved ones we lost. One day we'll be done with pain. One day you'll have to write one more check. Wouldn't it be great? Oh, by the way, speaking of checks, I know this has nothing to do with the sermon. If any of you have the Plum Creek app on your phones, the online giving portion of that app is working now. So you can now, you can now go online and give. I'm meeting with some people to make sure we understand how that, but the app is live. We have not got it on our website yet. Hopefully we'll get that done this week, but it is on the app, so if you have the Plum Creek app, if you need to give that way, you certainly can. Okay? Oh, by the way, we don't do credit cards, debit cards, or electronic checks. We do that. Okay? All right, now we'll talk about money. Because I know some of you are out here, preachers supposed to talk about money. Okay, third point. Be blessed in your work. Be blessed in your work. You're going to go through trials and struggles, but have you ever figured out that when life is falling apart, you still got to show up at the office? When life is going hard, you still got to go to the assembly line. You still got to pay the bills. You still got to take care of the kids. You still got to do all those other things. Life goes on when we're in the middle of trials and struggles. And so Zechariah says, while he was serving as a priest before God, when his division was on duty according to the custom of the priests, so he was doing all that stuff. He was there. All the people were out there praying. He was doing his job. Now, thankfully, his job was sort of like my job. He got to be a representative before God. Now, we live a little differently because the Bible says that we're a kingdom of priests. So you guys are priests. You don't need me to go in front of God before you. You can go directly. But in that day and time, that priest really represented that ability to go before them. And so he was being faithful in that. He was doing his work. He was providing for his family. He was filling his obligations to man and to the Lord. People deal with struggles in different ways. Some people run away, right? Did you ever want to run away? I've been there a time or two. I can remember when my kids were going through some stuff when we were younger and, we're struggling with how to handle it. They hit the teenage years. You know what that's like? And, we adopted our kids when they were 10 and 13, so we jumped into that right away. And I can remember. I really do. I remember. I worked for the seminary, and we lived out in Hillview and in Pioneer Village. And I remember getting in the car one day, had an old Escort. Remember Escorts? They had no air conditioning. Had that 455 open, four windows, drive as fast as you can, help you cool off. And I remember driving home and thinking, you know what? The highway goes right on past. I don't have to stop. Did you ever feel like that? I mean, I didn't do it. But did you ever have that thought that, man, I just want to run away? Now, Zechariah didn't do that. Some people, they run into troubles and they lose themselves in work, right? People that have done that. They got all this trouble at home, so what do? They start staying at work a little more. And I've got to admit, and I've apologized to my wife for this. I think there was a time in my life where we were going through some of that, and I started doing that. I was working at a church, and I was teaching three or four times a week on Wednesday night, Tuesday night, Monday night, and I was in plays and doing all this kind of stuff. And one day, my wife set me down and said, you're never home. She was right. Men, just Caitlin, I just want you to know, pay attention to your wife. Sometimes she's right. Ladies, pay attention to your husbands. Sometimes they might be right too. But this sermon's not about that. Sometimes people lose themselves in work. And I don't think that's what Zechariah was doing. I think Zechariah was doing his job. I think he was doing what he had to do. Colossians chapter 3 says, "Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward." So Zechariah was doing the right thing. He was at the right place at the right time. He was living right. He was taking his problems to God. He was praying. He was doing everything right. And then suddenly the Lord stepped in. Which is sort of what we want, right? Don't we want God active in our lives? I want God active in my life. He's good at what he does. And so they, you know, they're praying, God, be active in our lives, work in our lives, give us a child, you know. I'm going to the temple, I'm praying, we're praying for forgiveness, we want you to work, we want you to work. And so we should be looking for God to act, right? We should be looking for God to act. So verse 11, Luke chapter 1. "There appeared to an angel of the Lord standing by..." So, boom. Now, Zechariah, like everybody else, you know, the first thing the angel says, and I'm just going to tell you, if an angel appeared to me, I'm sure it would be the first thing. You know, we talk about Christmas. This is a Christmas story, right? How many of you like angels on your Christmas tree? All right? Now, just think about those angels you see on your Christmas tree. If an angel like the one that is on your Christmas tree appears to you, what would you do? What's that?
Pass out.
Pass out? I think most of us would say, well, hi. You know, because they're all pretty, and they're cute, and they're nice, and you know, care of them, you know. And, you know, they got the big wings, you know. You know. But every time you see an angel appear in the Bible, what do? People are scared to death. I don't know if they wear a mask or something. I don't know how they appear, but somehow the angels we put on our tree and the angels that appear to people, I think they're different things. I think the angels of God come from the presence of God. You remember Moses? Moses had to cover his face because he'd been in the presence of God. I think when these angels, Gabriel says, he even says, "I stand in the presence of God." I think, you know, he comes with the presence of God, and that presence of God carries through. And I think it just shatters everybody. Anybody who meets an angel, I think it sort of shatters their preconceptions of what God is and where they fit in the universe and how holy they are and how righteous they are and all that kind of stuff. And so every time, basically, just about every time you read about an angel, the first thing the angel has to say is, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. Get up." Right? So, look for God to act. So the angel appears with good news. Don't somebody hear good news? I like to hear good news. Wouldn't it be nice, you know, angel appears and says, "Hey, you know that thing in the crime man? Don't worry about it. I got it taken care of." Right? Oh, you know, hey, angel appears, you know, you're driving down the road in your car. All of a sudden, the angel sitting next to you and says, "Hey, you know that checkbook thing you were worried about? You thought you were overdrawn and you couldn't pay the bills this month. Don't worry, I got it." Wouldn't that be great news? But I got a little bit of Zechariah in me. I'm looking for God to act. I want God to act, but sometimes it's tough. Lately here at Plum Creek, we've been blessed. And that with blessing comes problems sometimes. We've had trouble parking. We've had trouble finding seats for people. We've had some issues like that, and so we're trying to deal with that. Problems that come from having visitors and members, you know, finding their seats and coming together to worship. Man, what a great problem to have. But we also have to deal with it. We have to figure out how to solve it. And I don't know about you, but I never thought about it. I don't sit around and pray, "Lord, give us parking problems." Does anybody pray that? Does anybody pray that really? Now, I do occasionally say, "Lord, fill the church," but I never really think about, "Lord, fill the church so people can't sit with their families." Has anybody prayed for that lately? But that's some of what's happened lately, hasn't it? Because if we pray and if we're faithful, sometimes God answers, and sometimes when God answers, you know what happens? Then we get new problems. And we've got to address them in new ways. We've got to find ways to deal with it. So, I hope that we are faithful enough so that we see God working in us and we don't say, "Well, are you sure? Are you sure this is what you want to do?" I want to be one of the guys. I want to be a church. I want to be a deacon. I want to be one of those guys who stands back and says, "Lord, if you're working, I'm getting out of the way. And I want to see what God can do among us." We could do what Zechariah says and just say, are you sure? Could you be serious? Are you, you know, I'm not too sure about this. Or maybe we could do a few announcements on Sunday morning, say, could you scoot over and make a little room? Could you be careful parking so you don't block people in? You know, if you're going to block people in, block the preacher. He's always here late anyway. Right? Acts 2, verse 17 says, in the last days this will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. Now, I don't know if we're in the last days, but here's what I know. I believe God's working among us here at Plum Creek, and I'm so thankful for that. And you know, I got to tell you, I don't think it's just here at Plum Creek, because I've talked to a couple of other pastors in our community. And I think God is doing something good in Spencer County and in our community. And you know what? We better rope that horse and go for a ride. Because I don't know how long God's going to be doing that. And there's going to come a time where we're going to have to consolidate and all that kind of stuff, but there comes a time to plant the seeds and watch it grow. And may God continue to plant his seeds here. And may we be faithful to water and to nurture it. We're doing the Sunday school training next week. Please come, because that's about preparing. That's about making sure that we're watering the seeds, making sure we're making room, doing all those things we need to do. Maybe these are the days when God is pouring out his spirit on our church and in our community. And maybe we need to really listen to God's word. James chapter 1 verse 6 says, let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Here, Zechariah and Elizabeth had been praying for years, I'm assuming. Because they were getting old. I mean, when do you start praying for a child? It's after you've been trying for a little while. You know? And then all of a sudden you start praying hard. And then you hit 25 and you still haven't got a baby. And then you hit 30 and you still haven't got a baby. And then you hit 35 and you hit 40. You've been praying for years. And then God speaks. Now, I got to admit, I've been a pastor for a long time. I've been in ministry for longer than I care to really think about now. I think it's been about 30 years now. 27, 28, I don't know. And I've got to admit, I really do. I've never had an angel appear at the right hand of the pulpit while I was preaching. I've certainly felt God speak to me through his word. I've certainly been in situations where I've been in prayer and I felt like God speaks to me, but I always come back to God's word because this is the foundation we have to build on. So when I'm talking about God's word, I'm not talking about you get an angelic visitation that tells you to, you know, to do something. I'm talking about something that's verified and true because it's God's word that we have carried on to us. And so Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, appears to Zechariah and says, you're going to have a kid. And then what does Zechariah do? Zechariah said to the angel, how shall I know this? I'm like, dude, there's an angel standing next to you. I'm sorry, I know dude is probably not appropriate for church, but I'm just like, there's an angel standing right there. What more do you want? Do you ever feel like that? God's trying to work in your life, right? You got everything you want, all that kind of stuff, and sometimes we go back to God and say, give me a sign, right? Don't we say, give me a sign? The children of Israel, show us a sign that you're the king. Well, listen, I've raised the dead, I've fed the hungry, I've made the blind see. What else do you want? Trust God's word. Listen to God's word. Apply it in our lives. Now, this is a weird story. I hope you see how it applies. There was a guy who teaches comedy. His name is Del Chase, and he told this story. He says he was reading in the newspaper about a skydiver who dived out of airplanes, and he was one of those guys who did acrobatics, you know, like, what is it that comes up here soon down downtown? Thunder. Yeah, thunder over little, like those guys do, you know. And so he's one of those skydivers who does all this kind of stuff. You know, I'm sure he had the little smoke thing coming out the back. Well, he jumped out of a plane one time and pulled the ripcord and happened. And I don't know if you know this, but most of the stunt guys, they don't carry an extra chute because they can't do their stunts with the extra chute. So once his chute didn't open, he was stuck. So you know what he did? He kept doing somersaults and tumbling and doing all that kind of stuff until he went... And the guy said, you know what, life is sort of like that. We're all going to end up the same place. The question is, are we going to keep doing somersaults until we get there? Are we going to trust God until we get there? Are we going to trust God even when it gets hard, even when the street doesn't open? Are we going to do what God's asked us to do? You know, there's a couple of prophets in the Old Testament. One of them is named Jeremiah, who was called to preach to the nation. He was called to call the nation to repentance, you know? And he got up in the pulpit, or he went out and talked to people, and he went to the temple and all that kind of stuff. And you know what? He did that for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. And you know what? Nobody listened. But he kept being faithful. Sometimes we need to learn that lesson that our job isn't to determine how things end up. Our job is to do what God asks us to do along the way. Are you going to listen to God's word? Are you going to apply God's word in your life? Are you going to do what he asks you to do and trust him for the results? Now listen, I will tell you that if you trust God, in my experience, most of the time you're going to get really good results. God's going to make amazing things happen in your life. But sometimes it's going to be tough. Maybe Zechariah was afraid he'd look like a fool. He told everyone what the angel said because they all said, well, your wife's old, you know. Maybe he was afraid to believe the answer when he heard it. Maybe he was like, you know, I've sort of given up on that for you. Maybe he was afraid of the changes that would come. What do you think? I think that's it. I think he was afraid of the changes. Again, my wife and I adopted kids when we'd been married for over 10 years. Okay? So we were pretty settled in our life. We had an idea what life looked like. And we thought we were prepared to adopt a 10 and 13-year-old. Anybody here thinking about adopting a 10 and 13-year-old? I'm just telling you. And I don't know, you know, some of you have adopted other kids. And sometimes just having a kid. How many of you were prepared when you had your first child? Anybody? How many of you were prepared when you had your second child? Well, I'm going to tell you, we were not prepared. They made us take classes to tell us how unprepared we were, and we didn't believe them. And so maybe Zechariah and the rest, maybe he was a little like, you know, our life is settled, we're good, we don't have to, you know, we don't have to wake up in the middle of the night other than to go to the bathroom, you know. There are all these other things going on, we don't have to do all this stuff, we can take care of ourselves. But then you throw a baby in there, and then we got to start buying Pampers, and they haven't invented Gerber baby food yet, so we got to make all that stuff ourselves. You know, maybe they were, you know, maybe that was one of those, because we don't like change. Raise your hand if you're a big fan. You want to change things every day. We had a friend of ours. God bless her. I loved her, but every time we went to her house, her living room was rearranged. I don't know how her husband dealt with it. Now, again, our house, if you come to our house today, we've lived there 3 years, none of the furniture's moved. And it probably won't until we buy new furniture. And then it'll probably sit in the same place the old furniture sits. Right? But now, you know, this friend of ours, and she changed the furniture up the whole time. But then at church, she never wanted to change. Listen, friends, our church is growing, and I'm very thankful for that, and I hope you are too. But with change, with growth comes change. And I wish I could tell you what all those changes are going to look like, but I don't know. We're trying to follow God's agenda, not ours. And we can make plans, and we can figure out all that kind of stuff, and we're going to do our best. But I'm telling you, change is coming. And so, let me encourage you. One, be patient with each other. Be kind to one another. Be kind to me. And the other folks who are trying to do our best to keep up with things. Because sometimes when God starts pouring out the blessing, you know, the bucket gets full, and we've got to figure out how to handle it. So please be praying for us. All right, number six, last one. Learn the penalty of doubt. Learn the penalty of doubt. See, if we don't listen to God's word, if we don't act when God tells us to act, there's always a penalty to take. You remember Peter? I like Peter. Peter's another one of the guys. I feel like I'm a lot like Peter. I talk a lot, and probably I say things I shouldn't say, and sometimes I get in trouble for that. Peter did. Peter was out on a boat, you know, all the disciples are out on a boat, and Jesus came walking across the water, and the disciples got afraid, and then they realized it was Jesus, and Peter said, Lord, call me to you! In the movie Son of God, isn't this in the Son of God? Isn't that part in the Son of God where Peter walks on the water? Yeah, I think so. So if you get to see the movie Son of God, you get to see Peter walk on the water, except it's an actor playing Peter. But, and Peter, says, Lord, call me Peter. And Jesus says, come on. And Peter steps out of the boat. And Peter walked on the water. Two people in history have walked on water. At least it wasn't frozen. One is Jesus and the other one's Peter. You know, sometimes we remember that Peter sank, but before he sank, he walked on water. And I bet when Peter stepped on the water, he's got his eyes on Jesus and he's going, this is cool. And then he looks at the water and they're waves. And then he looks at his feet and he's walking on water. And then he looks at the boat and it's bobbing up and down and the disciples are going, you know, they got that look on their face like, what's going on? And all of a sudden he took his eyes off the water and he stopped trusting. And he started to say, look what happened next. Look what Jesus said. Jesus said, he reached out his hand, took hold of him and said, oh, you a little faith, why did you doubt? Why did you doubt? We're working together and good things are going and all of a sudden he took your eyes off him. Peter got a little wet when he didn't follow through. Remember Peter asked Jesus and Jesus said, come on. And Zechariah and his wife had asked for a child and the Lord said, yes. And Zechariah said, are you sure about this? Really? Now? And Zechariah paid the price. There's always a price for that. Peter got wet and Zechariah, who had this amazing story to tell. You know, it's like, you'll ever go on a really cool vacation and get back home and bore people with it, you know? You know, I heard somebody just this week, they were talking about it. Now, this was a cool vacation. I kind of, the guy got to go on a safari in Africa, you know, and he got to live in the tents. And he said at night, he said there was this one building they stayed in. It was like three sides of walls and one side was just mess. And the lions walked away like 3 feet away. And I'm like, it was like iron mesh, right? And he said, no, it's just like, you know. I'm like, I don't want to be asleep in their room. I'd be up all night. But he had a cool vacation. But have you ever done that? You come back and you're telling people all about, you know, we went to Disney World and I saw Mickey and all this kind of stuff, you know, and you watch people and their eyes sort of glaze over and you realize they don't get it, they weren't there, you know. It's one of those, a lot of times your vacation is you had to be there, right? But Zechariah has this amazing story today. He's in the Holy of Holies, he's doing his job. All of a sudden an angel appears and talks to him and tells him all this stuff about his son, how they're going to raise him, how he's going to prepare the way in the wilderness, and all this kind of stuff. And he's got this great story, and because he doubted, he can't tell anybody. He can't tell anybody. He won the lottery. And he can't tell his wife. There's always a price to be paid in doubt. Now, in Peter's case and in Zechariah's case, you know, they're believers. And God still held him up, and Zechariah still got his baby, and Peter had still walked on water, and Jesus still picked him up. And we could doubt as people sometimes, and God won't forget about us. He won't stop loving us. But we won't be in the place where we would have been if we only trusted him. Luke 1, verse 20. Behold, you will be silent and unable to speak for the day those things take place. I want to be able to speak the glory of God. I want to see what God is going to do among us. I want you to be able to see what God's going to do with you. You know, as I was working on the sermon, it wasn't until this morning that I realized that some of the stuff I'm talking about this sermon is stuff that's going on in our church, but it's also going on in our lives and hearts. We have times when God calls us and says, just trust me. Just trust me. And it's easy to stop. You know, he had this faithful priest who'd been faithful all his life, and then he got a little bit afraid, and then he doubted a little bit. But then God still blessed him. I'm thankful for that, aren't you? I'm thankful that even when we falter, even when we stumble, even when we're not trusting, God still works in us. But I don't know about you, but I want the full measure of God's blessing. I want to be able to walk out of this place and say, I'm going to shout the glory of God because we trust Him. I want you to be able to do that in your life. I want you to be able to do that in the life of our church. I want you to be able to do that personally because you know this Jesus. You know, the story of Zechariah is the story of one who comes to prepare the way, and one who's preparing ways for which Jesus. And you know what? We don't want to fill up the pews because I'm a good preacher, because I know that's not the case. If we're filling up the pews because I speak well, then we're doing it for the wrong reasons. If we're filling up the pews because Jared, and God bless him, he does play well and sing well. If we're filling up the pews because of that, then we're doing it for the wrong reason. But if we're filling up the pews because we're living in the Spirit of God and we're allowing him to work in us and among us, if God's will is being done here, if we are worshiping God and drawing near to him here, and if people are coming for those reasons, if we're encouraging them to be here because somehow, in some special way, the presence of God is moving among this congregation, then God, I pray, keep it up. Now, I don't know where you are today. I know a lot of you are visitors today, and I hope if you're a visitor that you filled out the Connect card so that we can get a record of your visit. We're glad to have you here today. And I hope you come back tomorrow. And I'll just figure out what service to come back to in 2 weeks, because we'll have two of them then. And I don't know what that's going to look like, but I know it's going to be an adventure. I like adventure movies. Anybody like adventure movies? One of my things about adventure movies are fun to watch, but sometimes they're a little bit uncomfortable for the guy who's living through. You know, like Indiana Jones getting dragged behind the truck, that doesn't look like fun, but it makes good TV. Hopefully we won't get dragged behind the truck. But we're in for an adventure, and God's going to go with us, and amazing things are going to happen. And maybe God wants to start an adventure with you in your life right now. Maybe God's saying to you, hey, you trust my son Jesus, and you get involved in a good church, and you just place your faith in him, and turn away from the things that keep you away from him. Trust God. Maybe you need to trust God today. Maybe today's the day you need to say, hey, listen, I need to be a member of this church. I want to get on the ride. I want to see what this adventure's going to look like. Or maybe you're like Zechariah. And maybe you've been afraid of the promises of God. And maybe you just need to say in your heart, maybe you need to come up the altar and lay a burden down and say, Lord, I've been afraid of something. Lord, I know you're faithful. And I know I can trust you. And I want to start. Why don't you stand? We're going to sing an invitation.